When you think about suffering, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? What do you think about? How do you feel when you suffer? Do you feel despair and wonder, what have I done to deserve such a thing? Is suffering something that you seek to avoid at all costs? We live in a nation of great comforts, and suffering is foreign to many of us. But suffering is a part of life. It is a part of the human experience, especially for Christians. This world is broken and full of sin and suffering. Tonight, our text deals with suffering. It deals with the suffering of Jesus, how he understands suffering because he himself was a man and suffered in his flesh. If you would, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll be in verses 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. God, you are good, and we thank you for your love for sinners. We thank you for your sovereign plan to send your Son. We thank you that Jesus is our great high priest, and he loves sinners so much that he took on the likeness of our flesh and suffered in this world, and yet he remained without sin. And thank you for his sacrifice that now we can come to the throne boldly and make worship and worship you before your throne of grace because of your Son's sacrifice. God, may you bless this word to our hearts, open it up to us, and may we leave this place tonight as worshipers of the one true God. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Hebrews is about Jesus. It's about who he was and what he has done for us. Our text tonight specifically deals with Christ as our high priest, our great high priest. And then it tells us what he has done for us as our high priest. And one of the things that Christ has done for us as a high priest is he endured great trials in this earth. Tonight, I'll talk about three main things. One, the love of our great high priest. Secondly, I'll talk about the compassion of our great high priest. And third, I will talk about the great grace of our great high priest. Look at Hebrews 4:14. It says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. It says we have a great high priest. What does it mean for Jesus to be our great high priest? Why is that word great there? And what that really means is this. Jesus was better than the Levitical priesthood. The entire book of Hebrews has a backdrop of Jesus versus the Old Testament and its systems. Chapter 1 and 2 of Hebrews talks about how Jesus is better than the angels. Chapter 2 through 3 talks about how Jesus is better than Moses. And then from 3 to our point now is getting to how Jesus was better than Aaron in the Levitical priesthood. So when you think about this text, when you think about the book of Hebrews, always have that in the back of your mind, this backdrop, Jesus versus the Old Testament, the types and shadows versus the reality. And to understand how Jesus is better than the high priest of old, it is important for us to understand who the high priests were. Well, we know that they were the men who stood as mediators before God and man. They would go into the Holy of Holies once a year to make sacrifice. They would offer up a slain animal and sprinkle blood upon the altar in the mercy seat of God. They would also release a goat into the woods called a scapegoat to signify atonement and justification for sins. But we know because of the word that the blood of bulls and goats could never save anyone. These were types and shadows of what was to come. Jesus was a great high priest because he was better than the Levitical priesthood, as I said, because he surpassed all that they did or could do. First, one of the things that Jesus did that the Levitical priesthood was not, is that he was eternal. Hebrews 7:23-24 says, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, that is Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. The priests had to always relegate and bring up new priests, but Jesus was our eternal priest. He was the last high priest. High priests do not exist, not biblically, today. Secondly, as our high priest, not only was Jesus eternal, but he made a perfect and final sacrifice for sins. Hebrews 10:1-4 says, since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. They couldn't do it. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consequences of sins, but in these sacrifices, that is, in the Old Testament sacrifices that the high priest made, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And what this is saying is that the blood, like I said previously, the blood of animals has never been able to save anyone. The sacrifices of the Old Testament priests were temporal and needed to be repeated. But the sacrifice of Jesus was perfect and final. For he offered himself once and for all, as Hebrews 7:27 tells us. But not only is it important to understand who the high priests were, it's important to understand why they were. Have you ever thought, how would you explain Jesus without the Old Testament types and shadows? If you just showed up today and just had the New Testament canon and you tried to explain Christ to someone who had never heard of a king, never heard of a priest, or never heard of a prophet, what would you say? And this is where we, as the Christian church, need redemptive history to explain Jesus. Jesus is our King. If we were to try to explain Jesus from the Old Testament, we would point back to kings like David and show how he ruled and reigned in his day. But we would ultimately show them that there was one to come who is better than all of the kings of old put together, who rules strongly and just on his throne. And that king is King Jesus. Jesus is also our prophet. We would point back to the prophets of old who brought forth the truths of God, the judgment and wrath upon nation, and show how their prophecies were pointing ultimately to a Messiah in which all men and all of human history would find refuge in. And that's what Hebrews 4:14 is ultimately doing. The end game of the high priest of the Levitical priesthood was Jesus. Jesus was the point. The high priests were to help us explain Christ's sacrifice. Without what they had done in the types and shadows of the Old Testament, we could not fully grasp what Jesus has done for us as our high priest. So those are the two things. To understand the greatness of Jesus, our high priest, we have to understand who they were. We have to understand why they were. And ultimately, they were pointing us to Jesus as our great high priest, a better priesthood who made a better final and eternal sacrifice for sins once and for all. But not only was Jesus our great high priest, but the verse continues to say that Jesus, the Son of God, passed through the heavens. And that's the qualifier. Jesus was the Son of God, which made him better than mere men. He was from eternity past. He came and put on the likeness of human flesh, and he was our great high priest. He stood in the gap and mediated for our sins between man and God. He is the only person like him. God has always been spiritual until over 2,000 years ago, he broke through and became a man. And Jesus' humanity is important to understand his priesthood. But what does it mean that Jesus passed through the heavens? I think that this is a testament of God's great love for sinners. Think about it. Consider six things with me. But because before he could pass through the heavens, he had to pass through many other things before that. One, Jesus had to come to this world. He had to pass through the spiritual to reach the physical for the very first time as the incarnate Savior. Jesus left his throne in heaven and put on flesh to come to earth. He had to pass through the spiritual to reach the physical. Second, to become like us, Jesus had to pass through the womb of a virgin to be born. He was actually born into this world. Jesus chose to come to a world full of sin and suffering. Number three, Jesus had to pass through infancy, childhood, and manhood, and all of the trials and tribulations that come with that. Jesus had to take on flesh. He got sick. Jesus got sad. He got hurt. He went through good and bad circumstances. He felt pain on the cross, and there he suffered. When Judas betrayed him, he suffered. When people would turn away from God and not receive the gospel, when he went into the homes of the Pharisees and they would reject the gospel, even though they were his enemies, he suffered. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he says, "You must give up all that you have." And the rich young ruler could not do it. Jesus suffered because he turned away from the only thing that could save him. Number four, he also passed through death. Jesus actually died on the cross, atoning for our sins, but not even that could keep him from his ultimate goal. And we know that because he was also resurrected from the dead 3 days later. That's number five. He came back to earth. He passed through death back to this earth. And then he ascended to the throne. And that's number six. That is what this verse is talking about. Jesus passed through the heavens and all of the glories and splendor of heaven and the heavenly places so that he, as our great high priest, could ever stand in the presence of the Father. Remember, the priesthood of the Old Testament could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. Jesus passed through the heavens and now stands before his Father's throne, making intercession for us forever. Hebrews 9:12 says, "He entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of blood, of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption." Eternal redemption for who? And that is the gospel. That is the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus passed through through the spiritual to the physical. He passed through the womb of his mother, the Virgin Mary. He passed through childhood and manhood and the sufferings that come with the flesh and the weaknesses. He took on our weaknesses and he passed through death on a cross. Passed through back through this earth to get to heaven, to pass through the heavens to make atonement and thus make an atonement and sacrifice for our sins, and now stands as our mediator before the Father forever. This is the gospel. This is the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus has passed through the heavens. The Levitical priest could never have done that. William Gouge, a Puritan from the 16th century, said, nothing could hinder him from that place where he intended to appear as our priest before his Father. Jesus loved sinners. If you ever ask why, like, just imagine Jesus trying to have a conversation with the angels in eternity past and say, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to die for my enemies. I'm going to go to earth and die for my enemies. And they look at him and say, well, what are they going to do? And he says nothing. They can do nothing. In this is the love of God, not that we loved him, but he loved us and sent his Son to be our propitiation. And if this is the love of our great high priest, then we will and we must do what the verse says. It says, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast through suffering, through the weaknesses of the flesh, through doubts of faith, through different things. As our nation turns against Christianity, as our world seems to be closing in on us, let us hold fast our confession of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the truths of the gospel, the truth that Jesus is our great high priest, and he has made an eternal, perfect, and final sacrifice for sins. And there's nothing that can change that. And so my question to you is, are you struggling in faith? Are you suffering? Are you suffering with someone else? Do you know anyone who is struggling with their faith and who is suffering in their flesh? If this describes you as someone that you know, then tell them that Jesus is our great high priest and he has endured great hardship for that title. His great love for sinners is evident by his works. So hold fast to your confession of him. Number two, and that leads me to my second point. Look at verse 15. The compassion of our great high priest. It says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but in every respect he has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. The writer of Hebrews uses three negative ways to explain three very, very positive things about Jesus. First, he says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And that means that Jesus understands what it is like to live in this world and suffer. Number two, it says, but in every respect, Jesus has been tempted as we are. And that does not mean that Jesus has had desires that cause him to want the things of this world, to be satisfied in the things of this world. What it means is that Jesus, as our great high priest, is a man. And as a man, he endured hardships and weaknesses that come with being a man. He suffered in his flesh at the hands of others. That means that nothing of the human experience is foreign to Jesus, except sin. And that's what it says, yet without sin. And again, that is a qualifier. Jesus can have compassion as our great high priest because he experienced the weaknesses of the flesh. Jesus was tempted. Not like we are, because we have sin in us that we want the things of the flesh, but Jesus was tempted in the garden. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness with Satan. Jesus was tempted on the cross. But Jesus never sinned, so he could make a perfect sacrifice for sinners. That's the other part of his priesthood. Not only was he the one making prayers and intercessions for us, but he was the one sacrificing himself upon the cross. And he had to be sinless for it to be final. That's why it was finished upon the cross. And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen many, many disturbing things on the news. Pastor Sean and Pastor Tom addressed it. I've been asked many questions about being a black man in this country and how I feel about things like white privilege and things, if it even exists, and things like police brutality. And my answer to that is, no matter what I think, we need Jesus. And over the past couple of weeks, we see many black people speaking out about their present sufferings in this country due to the color of their skin. And many of them feel like no one can understand what they are going through. They're wrong. We see also many white police officers suffering. They are being lumped into a category of racist and unjust when many, most of them, have never broken the law. They've upheld justice. They've protected the weak and the innocent. And yet, they are being cast out as racist police and even being attacked. We had another attack today upon a police officer in Baton Rouge. I'm even ashamed to say that my cousin here in our own city went before our political leaders and requested that we remove all white police officers from the neighborhoods. This is disturbing. And yet, they feel they are suffering. Even outside of our nation, we saw in Turkey on the news a full-scale civil war breaking out. And the people over there are suffering at the hand of corrupt leadership and corrupt rulers, even to the point of murder. And what this verse means, when it says Jesus sympathizes with us, it is because he has suffered. Jesus was persecuted because of who he was. He was the perfect Son of God, and yet he suffered because men hated him, because he spoke the truth and lived an upright life. Jesus sympathized with those who were being labeled something that they are not. He was labeled a heretic and a sinner, and even died a sinner's death upon a cross. Yet he committed no sin. Jesus understands corrupt and unjust leadership, as he had to stand trial before Pilate and answer questions of crimes that he never committed. Jesus understands the sufferings of sinful men. Thus, he can have compassion as our sinless great high priest. And that leads me to my third and final point. Because Jesus loves us and has compassion upon sinners, he has grace. He has offered us grace as our great high priest. Because of Christ's mediatorial work as our great high priest, we can now draw near to the throne of grace. And this word in verse 16, which says, "Let us then draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And that word for confidence means to literally say it all. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for our sins, because of his work as our great high priest, his love, his compassion for sinners, we can boldly go before the throne of grace and say it all. That means that we can pour our hearts out to God because Jesus has poured himself out for us. Again, back to the Levitical priesthood, only one man could go in once a year. But because of what Christ has done, the better work, all of us, everyone here who professes the name of Christ, who has been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, can go into the presence of God, to the throne of grace, and offer your heart to him. You can pray and you can worship God freely. You can pray and you can sing songs to God. You can offer up the cares of your heart because he cares for you. But if you are not in Christ, you cannot do this. This is an exclusive offer. You must be saved. You must believe the gospel. You must believe that Jesus Christ died for sins and has risen from the dead three days later and has ascended to the right hand of the Father and makes intercession for us. And who all should believe in him shall be saved. You must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ to draw near to the throne of grace. This only works with Jesus. Christ made it possible for every heart to be saved, for every heart to be saved who believes in him. A.W. Pink said this, "The law was given so that every mouth may be shut, but the high priest was given so that every mouth would be opened." Jesus has made a way to the Father. Please, please come to him. And that is my appeal to you. Come to Jesus, believe the gospel, go to the throne of grace based on the merit of Jesus Christ and him alone. Draw near to God, brothers and sisters, because Christ has made a way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, and we thank you for your great love for sinners. We thank you for the sacrifice made once for all by your Son on the cross. God, I pray for every heart here to believe the gospel, to believe and look to Jesus and his sufferings and their sufferings, that see that he suffered in this age, to encourage those around him who are them around them who are suffering. And may your name be lifted high among all things. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.